Hello there. My name is Cheryl, and you are listening to the Jedi Fangirl Podcast. Hello, and welcome back to the Jedi Fangirl Podcast. This is, I believe, episode 9 of my podcast, if you are just now starting to listen. I started several weeks ago and decided to have kind of a first season of my podcast and spend it discussing all 11 of the live-action Star Wars films. I've been talking about one each week, and I'm going in chronological order, so the order that they happened. I started with the prequels and then talked about Solo, talked about Rogue One, and we've gotten into the original trilogy, and this week I'm now on episode 6, Return of the Jedi. So that's what I'll be talking about here in a few minutes. So I want to talk about for a minute, I think, before we get into talking about Return of the Jedi, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Star Wars timeline. So I have been reading this year a lot of the Star Wars canon novels, and actually even some of the comics as well. And I just finished Dark Disciple, which takes place at the end of Clone Wars before episode 3, so before Revenge of the Sith. And I just want to say, I know I've said this before, and I talk a lot about the novels, and I talk about Clone Wars and Rebels, and I seriously can't stress enough how much you are missing out if you're not paying attention to any of these. I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, somebody's more of a Star Wars fan than somebody else, because I think that that's just silly and pointless. And I disagree with anybody that says that, honestly. But if you are just, I mean, honestly, a lot of the people, if you follow me on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, I know a lot of people out there that are listening to my podcast, listening to Star Wars podcasts, and talking about this on Twitter all the time. We are the hardcore Star Wars nerds. But it's because it's so easy to get sucked in. I mean, there's a lot of people that are fans of, if nothing else, the original trilogy. I know you'll also get those people that have never seen any of them, but those that have seen the original trilogy usually like them. And then there's those of us that, you know, like them enough that we go and watch the prequel trilogy, you know, and they're popular movies, but it's such a huge universe of characters. There are characters in the Star Wars universe that are not mentioned in the movies at all, such as Ahsoka Tano. And if you watch Clone Wars, then you know she was a pretty integral character. She was Anakin Skywalker's Padawan, so you know that. Also, like the book I just finished, Dark Disciple, you've got characters in that book. What I found was interesting, I didn't realize. I kind of knew what it was about before I read it. Obviously, you can go out and get a summary anywhere or whatever. I knew it was about this character named Quinlan Vos, who I don't really think, I mean, I know he's in Clone Wars. I have not watched all of the Clone Wars episodes, so I don't think I've seen him that much. And also Asajj Ventress, who I have seen a lot more in Clone Wars. But they are not in any of the movies, really. I actually did find out Quinlan Vos, who is such an interesting character, honestly, that I didn't really know much about until I read this book. But he's actually in episode 1. Like, he's seen in a scene in episode 1. And now I'm going to have to go back and rewatch that. But just, that's so cool to me that you can see some of these characters, like little background characters that we don't even think about. But if you read the books, you really know that they are a big part of the Star Wars universe. And they are just as fascinating as the characters that we see in the movies. So again, if you are not reading the novels, if you're not watching the TV shows such as Clone Wars and Rebels, and now we have The Mandalorian as well, you're missing out on a lot of the Star Wars universe. So I just want to put that out there. To me, it's cool. It's one of the reasons that I'm such a big fan of Star Wars is because it is such a huge universe and there is just so much out there to explore. And now we even have Galaxy's Edge at Disney World and at Disneyland. And there are novels about Batuu, another planet. Like, we're introduced to another planet because of Galaxy's Edge. And it just doesn't end. And honestly, I love that because it's all super interesting to me. And it's one reason I keep following along. It's the reason that I can have a podcast, honestly, because there's just so much out there to see and read and listen to as far as Star Wars is concerned. So, going back to Return of the Jedi that I'm going to talk about here in a minute, it's kind of cool that what we get to see as far as in the timeline, now we have The Mandalorian. And if you haven't watched any of the TV episode or TV shows up until now, you're probably still watching The Mandalorian because I know it's incredibly popular. And we get to see life after Return of the Jedi because that's when The Mandalorian takes place. If you're not familiar with that, it does take place about 5 years after Return of the Jedi. So just wanted to put that out there since we're going to be talking about Return of the Jedi this week. So again, here in a minute, I'm going to get into my discussion on the movie, and then we're going to talk about some current Star Wars news at the end, so stay tuned in for that. Okay, so today we are talking about Return of the Jedi. This is episode 6. It came out in 1983. This was the third and supposedly final film in the original Star Wars trilogy after A New Hope, after The Empire Strikes Back, and then now we have Return of the Jedi. So the movie starts out with a pretty sad beginning. At the end of Empire Strikes Back, we saw that Vader basically found Luke and found Han on, on Cloud City and decided to test out his carbon freeze. And we see Han has been encased in carbonite and given to Jabba the Hutt by Boba Fett. Darth gave him to Boba Fett. Boba Fett took him to Jabba the Hutt. Jabba has been keeping him hanging on the wall in his palace basically as a trophy, I think, because as we saw in A New Hope, Han was working for Jabba, owed him some money. Actually, we didn't really see that scene in the original movies, but here we are. So starts out in Jabba's palace. Han is hanging on the wall. What happens is Luke ends up sending the two droids, R2-D2 and C-3PO, with a message to Jabba. And that doesn't really do anything. So then we see Leia brings Chewbacca in. She is disguised and she manages to get Han out of the carbonite, but she gets captured herself. And this is where the infamous gold bikini comes in that Leia is wearing. There's a lot out there already about this stupid bikini. And I think it's funny. I'm not really going to talk much about it just because I just think it's kind of hilarious. But Leia does look really skinny, and I cannot imagine being Carrie Fisher and probably all the weight that she had to lose just to wear that dumb bikini for that one scene, or kind of two scenes if you count the scene in the desert. But anyway, here comes Luke. He is, he's coming to rescue everybody. He comes in looking sharp. He seems to have a lot more confidence. He's got a brand new lightsaber. And he claims to be a Jedi Knight. What's going to happen? Everybody's pretty familiar with this scene. We know a lot about, Jabba the Hutt, Leia's gold bikini. The Sarlacc pit, which is seems like a pretty awful way to die, honestly, to get thrown into that thing. But Luke basically saves the day, and everybody working together, they manage to get away from Jabba, and then they have bigger problems. So, what's next? Well, the Emperor is building a new Death Star. How many times have we seen this plot used now? How many Death Stars and Star Killers and how many times is this going to be a plot point? It's been used in the original trilogy twice. It's been used in different variations in the sequel trilogy a couple of times. I don't know if there's just Death Stars are going to keep happening or what, but that's what is up in Return of the Jedi. They need to get rid of this new Death Star that is in process. So, to get rid of this new Death Star, what is the first thing that they have to do? Well, here's where we take a trip to Endor. And what I love about Endor is it is one of the Star Wars planets. There's the moon of Endor is actually where the deflector shield is that they need to disable. But Endor is interesting to me because it is yet another climate that we get to see on a Star Wars planet. I love how all of these planets are so diverse, and I've talked about this before a little bit on the podcast. But we've got Endor, we've got Hoth, we've got Tatooine, we've got Bespin, where Cloud City was, and they're all just very different. The climates are different, the scenery is different, the landscape is different, the people are different. Coruscant was a big city planet. I find it fascinating, honestly. So here we are on Endor, and it is seemingly a forest planet. And this movie was filmed actually a little bit north of where I live. I live in California, and this was filmed in the redwood forests of California. And we do have redwoods where I live as well. So it's cool to watch to me and think about that back in the 1980s, here they were filming this movie, not too far from where I live now. And I never knew that I would eventually be living in a place that is partially like Endor. So there you go. So on Endor, we also have Ewoks. This is the big movie with the Ewoks, our little crazy looking teddy bears that were kind of the Porgs of the original trilogy, to some people, the annoying Jar Jar of the original trilogy. So what do we think of Ewoks? Honestly, I kind of like the Ewoks. I love stuffed animals. I love teddy bears. I love having something to hug. And so that's pretty much why I love the Ewoks. I think that they are cute and funny, and I enjoy them. I know not everybody does, but I actually ordered today a necklace from Rock Love Jewelry that is a little Ewok that is hanging on a branch, and I'm super excited to get it. I saw it, and I kind of wanted it for a while, and I finally just decided to splurge, and I think it was appropriate considering that today I'm talking about Return of the Jedi. So another thing that's interesting to me about the Ewoks, so Warwick Davis played Wicket, one of the Ewoks in Return of the Jedi. And he is an interesting actor in the Star Wars world because he is a different character in so many of the movies. He is Wicket in Return of the Jedi. He was, I think, part of the Enfys Nest crew in Solo. He had a character in Star Wars Rebels that he voiced. He had a character, I looked this up on IMDb, and I don't even recognize all of these characters, but he is actually in The Last Jedi, he is in Rogue One, and he is in The Force Awakens. So, and he plays a different character every time. I think the only time he plays a repeat character is when we see him again as Wicket in The Rise of Skywalker, when we see the Ewoks again at the end of the movie. So, I think that's pretty cool. I'm pretty sure he's one of the few people that you could say played all these different characters, and sometimes you see his face and sometimes you don't. I do remember in Solo that you definitely do see his face, the character that he played as a part of Enfys Nest's crew. You do get to see his own face, but it's pretty cool that he was able to do that. So, all right. So another part of Return of the Jedi, there's a couple of big things. Well, I mean, there's a lot of big things, but there's a couple of really big things that happen in this movie. And one of them is that Luke finally tells Leia that she is his sister and that Vader is their father. And she claims that she knew all along. That's an interesting line. And some people like to point out that if she really knew this all along, then why did she kiss Luke in Empire Strikes Back? But I think it's possible to kind of know something in your heart, like maybe a feeling, but you don't necessarily know it as a fact in your head yet. And that's kind of how I see it. I mean, she wasn't kissing Luke romantically anyway. She was kissing Luke because Han was making her mad. And she did it just to do it in front of Han. And so I think that's part of the justification too. Like, she wasn't really kissing Luke romantically because she did know all along, somehow, a little bit, that he was her brother. So I think it still makes sense. So I have to wonder, and I just watched this scene. I've been watching bits and pieces of the movie as I write out my outline for this podcast. But what thoughts, I wonder, did Leia have? She's standing there on Endor on the bridge after she's just had this conversation with Luke, and she just found out that Vader's their father, that Luke is her brother. So I have to wonder, and I know it's all fictional, so, you know, never really happened, but it's interesting to think about still. So in episode 4, A New Hope, in the very, very beginning of the movie is when Vader takes over Leia's ship and talks to her on the ship. And even as the audience, like us looking at that and going back to that scene, and with Leia being on Endor now, and having just talked to Luke about this, what is running through her head? Like, she has to be thinking back to that scene when she was confronted by Vader. I don't know if she ever had really had any interaction with Vader up to that point, but it's a lot to think about. And that's kind of why she at first pushes Han away and says she wants to be by herself. She's got a lot to process. And here Luke has told her that he needs to go and confront Vader now because he thinks that there's still good in him and he wants to bring him back. She's got to just think that he's crazy. But I like this scene because as this is coming out, this brings all of the first 6 movies back into play. And that's why I like the prequels so much, is that we went to the backstory and it really does all fit together so well. We've got the story beginning of being about Anakin and Obi-Wan and Padme. And then Luke and Leia are Anakin's children, but they don't know it. And it's finally coming full circle. Leia is finding out. And that's what I love about watching these movies in chronological order, because the story plays itself out. You know what's going to happen. But almost every time I think about something new, it's cool to see the story play out that way when you watch it in chronological order. So this secret is finally coming out after being dormant for so long. Nobody really, you know, I mean, we're not given a lot of insight into, and maybe we will when the Obi-Wan TV series comes out, but we're not given a lot of insight into what happened after Luke and Leia were taken as babies to live on Tatooine and to live on Alderaan. And at least in the movies, we definitely don't see that. You do see it some more in the books. But, yeah. So that's also, I think, where the sequel trilogy starts to feel a little bit disconnected to me. And it starts to not fit in as well together as the rest of them. Because I feel like episodes 1 through 6 were still a continuation of the same story. Even though I still feel like each trilogy is its own story. And the main story is the middle of it. And in the prequels, we get what happened before. And then in the sequel trilogy, we get what happened after. I still feel like the sequel trilogy is a lot more disconnected because we're introduced to these brand new characters, and the characters that have been there for a while, I mean, they're part of it, but I feel like it's not really the continue. It's in some ways it is because you've got Ben Solo, but it's not the as much of a continuation of their story as I wanted it to be. So that's probably why, even though I do like the sequel trilogy and I do respect its place in the Star Wars universe, it's my least favorite of the three trilogies. So, we also get another one of the big things that happens is that Luke meets the Emperor for the first time. And I had somebody leave a message that I'm going to play here a little bit later that mentions this, that this is actually the first time that we really get to see much of the Emperor in the original trilogy. This is a part where I just talked about how the sequel trilogy feels disconnected, and then here I'm going to bring it into play. So we do find out in Rise of Skywalker that Luke apparently knew all along that Rey was Palpatine's granddaughter. So it's interesting to watch Return of the Jedi and then think about how the scenes in the sequel trilogy with Luke interacting with Rey and bring that into play. So it kind of sheds some more light on this scene, and it sheds some more light on the sequel trilogy, thinking about Luke's meeting with the Emperor where the Emperor died. And then Luke is here training, or not training, his granddaughter now. And it's just puts a whole new light on it. Something interesting I think about Palpatine is that he basically was pure evil. We have a lot of characters in the Star Wars universe that are basically dark siders. Like they're the bad guys. But there is always some kind of twist on them where they either previously were good or they turn good at some point. We have Count Dooku, who we see him as a villain, but he was originally a Jedi, which I think the next book I might read is actually Dooku Jedi Lost. So maybe I'll find out a little bit more about his time as a Jedi. But then we also have, like I was mentioning before, I've read Dark Disciple. We've got both Quinlan Vos and Asajj Ventress, who Quinlan Vos was a Jedi. And then, I don't want to spoil this book for everybody, but he's got his own kind of dabblings with the dark side. You see what happens if you read that book. And then same thing with Asajj Ventress. When we first see her, she's Count Dooku's apprentice. But then she kind of, he basically scorns her, and you kind of get to see what happens with her. She's, not necessarily all bad either. And then we've also, of course, got Darth Vader, also Anakin Skywalker, who was good, and then he was bad, and then he gets redeemed in the end. So we've got all these Star Wars characters where it's pretty common for somebody to turn to the dark side but turn back, or for somebody to originally be good and then turn to the dark side. And Palpatine is just a bad guy all around. We never see him as good. We don't know what he's up to when we first watch the prequels, but, or at least they didn't know what he was up to, but we never see him really being a good guy. So I would be curious to know his background, honestly. I wonder if anything will ever come out that gives us a little bit more insight into how Palpatine became who he was. But so, and then the best part, my favorite part of Return of the Jedi is that Vader gets redeemed. And this is because Anakin Skywalker has become one of my favorite characters. And I think originally what I have to blame for that, what has contributed to that, is that when I was really getting into Star Wars to begin with, I was really young when the original trilogy came out. I wasn't even alive for all of it when it was all released. But the prequels were kind of my generation of Star Wars. So they're the ones that I remember coming out in the theater, going to see them in the theater. And so they're just kind of, you know, I mean, I still like all of the other trilogies, but I have a fondness for the prequels. And the prequels are where we get to see Anakin Skywalker. And we see them knowing that he becomes Darth Vader. And he's such an intricate character, and there's just so much that happens. And then to go through all six of these movies, and at the end, you finally get to see him return to the light. And it's just like this big victory. And it sucks that he had to die, but I do also believe that he did have to die. I mean, what are you going to do? It's the same reason that I think that it was okay that Ben Solo died at the end of the sequel trilogy. I know that's a controversial opinion, but either one of them, what would they do? They've done so many bad things. I mean, redemption is possible, but it would also be hard to go back and be like, okay, I'm going to join the good side now, and I'm going to do things that are good. I mean, without them being punished and without dealing with the feelings that people had around that. I mean, you do get to see a good example of that is in the novel Bloodline. You find out that Leia eventually becomes, you know, a general in the army, and she becomes, you know, it's what she's doing after Return of the Jedi and years later. And people don't know that Darth Vader was her father. And it comes out, and it ruins some things for her, because even then, years and years later, and even knowing that she wasn't Darth Vader, knowing that Darth Vader was her father, it still, you get to see the effect. Like, people don't forgive easily, and I think that's why Darth Vader really did have to die at the end. I mean, it would have been hard to tell a story of what happened if he lived and what he did after that. I just don't really see that being the best way to go. So it's cool to see that his feelings for, and this is what I believe really brought him back, was it brought back his connection to Padme. He's probably thinking in his head and remembering Padme and remembering her being pregnant and realizing that his son, he has a son and he has a daughter, and here's his son that is just so good that he totally still believes in him and believes there's good in him. And Vader just can't, he just can't be bad. He's like, even all of the evil that he's done over all of these years, he's just like, you know what? I just can't do it anymore. And it's just so cool to see. And it's one of, I mean, just the way the end of Revenge of the Sith is so powerful in that you're seeing Anakin turn to the dark side and become Vader. Return of the Jedi is powerful in the end that you're seeing Darth Vader become Anakin again. And I love that. And I think there's also so much depth to Anakin that we don't see in just the movies. Obviously in Clone Wars and the books, in Rebels, you get to see way more to this character than you see if you are just watching the movies. Also, the Darth Vader Dark Lord of the Sith comic series, I think it is, supposedly picks up right after Revenge of the Sith when Anakin becomes Vader. And I haven't been able to track those down to read them yet, but I really, really want to. So I think that would be some good insight into seeing what's going on in Vader's head, like right after all of this has happened. But so I did have somebody leave me a message this week also talking about how much they love Return of the Jedi and why, and they've talked about some of the things that I have talked about here. So I am going to play this message now. This is Jameson from the Rancor Review, another podcast that's out there. So go look them up and give them a listen.
Hey, Cheryl, this is Jameson from the Rancor Review, and I was just going to say that The Return of the Jedi is probably my favorite Star Wars movie, mainly because we get to see Luke Skywalker finally become a Jedi. And we get to see, of course, Anakin's redemption, and also we get a good, better glimpse of Palpatine, because throughout the whole original trilogy, we don't really get much of the Emperor at all until the Return of the Jedi, and we get a lot more, I guess, more of a visual or more of a scene of his manipulation, that he's controlling everything. And of course, Luke does not attack or does not kill his father, and that whole scene is just very well done. I love it a lot. And, you know, of course, it's a big part of my childhood. So that's another reason why I like it that much as well. So enjoy the podcast. I enjoy listening. So keep it up. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that, Jameson. Appreciated hearing your thoughts. I agree. I like all of the things that you had to say about Return of the Jedi. It's the wrapping up of the original trilogy. And despite what people may say about the Ewoks, I mean, how can you not like it? It just, Vader is finally redeemed. Luke finds out that he has a sister. Leia finds out, you know, the truth as well. And like you said, Luke didn't kill his father. And it just has a great ending. And it is a great ending to the first six movies. It's a great ending to the original trilogy. So how can you not like it? And so we see at the end of the movie, this is where I think some interesting questions come in. So this is one of those things. So Luke burns Vader's body. You see him doing this, burns it on a pyre. You see the mask is there. And then later on, we see in The Force Awakens, this was one of the big things in Force Awakens, like, whoa, that's Vader's mask. But we see Kylo Ren has this mask, and he is thinking that he is hearing Vader's voice, his grandfather. And where did he get this? I think this probably is mentioned, if not in the books, then the comics somewhere. And I don't remember where I've heard that it is mentioned, but it is explained where Kylo Ren got the mask. And I don't even remember the answer to that. So if you're out there and you've only seen the movies, this is just one of those little things that, like, again, you get so much more out of reading and watching the TV shows than just being into the Star Wars movies. So it also brings up the question. So going back also to Force Awakens, the lightsaber becomes this lightsaber that's traveled through all of these movies and was Anakin's and then Luke's and then becomes Rey's. Where did Maz Kanata get the lightsaber? Again, question. I think I've mentioned that before, but I think that might be mentioned somewhere too. I think that might be at least vaguely addressed in some of the other media out there outside of the movies. So again, my very favorite part of Return of the Jedi is Vader's redemption, just because I love Anakin Skywalker as a character so much. And even though he pretty much scares me as Darth Vader, he's really scary. I still love seeing the fact that he got redeemed and that this character that has been a villain, one of the world's epic villains, honestly, one of the most, as far as fiction villains are concerned, he's one of the top ones out there, honestly. So you get to see him be redeemed, and that's not something that you get to see in every movie or every day in every story. So I think that's it for Return of the Jedi. Next week, I will be discussing The Force Awakens. We're moving on to the sequel trilogy. So I've honestly really enjoyed going through all of these movies because it has forced me to sit down and talk about all of them. And I have, I love getting messages from you guys because it gives me something else to think about where these movies are concerned. And I love it that there is just so much out there to discuss regarding these movies. So again, if you have something to say about The Force Awakens, please go to JediFangirl.com, click on podcast, and then on my anchor page, click on the message button. You can leave me a message up to 60 seconds, and if you do, I might feature you on the podcast for next week. So also, just other reasons to visit JediFangirl.com. I'm kind of using it as a jumping off point for everything, so you can find links for the podcast. You can find a shop. I do have some Jedi Fangirl branded merchandise if you're interested in that. I know I've gotten some compliments on my logo, so that's why I put that out there. If you want something that says Jedi Fangirl, you can find it there. And also, I have a blog as well. I've done a review of a lot of the canon novels that I've read. And my review of Dark Disciple, as I mentioned, I just finished it. So my review of that will be coming soon. I have some other stuff, thoughts of blogs that I need to get written and get up there as well. So one big thing that will be coming soon is this Saturday, I am going to be seeing Ashley Eckstein at a talk in San Francisco. So I'm super excited about that. I get to cover it as press for my blog and for the podcast. So I'm excited to tell you guys about that. Yeah. And I think that's it for Return of the Jedi. So I'll be back here in just a second with some of the Star Wars news from this week. All right, well, let's talk about what is new in Star Wars news for this week. So, you guys, I'm still talking about it. Ace Comic Con happening actually 2 weeks from tomorrow in Boston. And I've already talked about it on here several times. We started out with the big news that Ewan McGregor was going to be a guest, and then they added Hayden Christensen, which made me super excited and made me decide to go because I can get a picture with my two favorite Jedi. I'm really excited about that. And then they also added Matthew Wood, who's the voice of General Grievous. They have added characters from Star Wars Rebels, Tia Sarkar, who plays Sabine, Taylor Gray, who plays Ezra, are also going to be there taking pictures, signing autographs. And then they said, hey, no, we're not going to get any more Star Wars guests. That's it. That's it. And then guess what? They announced a couple more Star Wars guests. So, also announced for Ace Comic Con were Carrie Russell, who plays Zori Bliss in The Rise of Skywalker. A new character, but not a new actress. She's been in a lot of things. And then also, the last one announced was Ray Park, who plays Darth Maul. So, that's kind of cool if you're there to see the Jedi and also get to meet one of the Sith if you want to do that. So what I took from this, I actually am going to meet Carrie Russell, and I decided to get my Rise of Skywalker visual dictionary signed by her because I think it's a cool idea. I think I'm going to take it with me also when I go to Star Wars Celebration in August, and I think it's going to kind of turn into a little bit of a yearbook. I think it's kind of a cool thing to have from the sequel trilogy, and now that it's complete, hopefully we'll get some of those actors showing up at Comic-Cons, and I can get it signed by some more. So while I'm there, I'm gonna get it signed by Carrie, and then I realized also that Matthew Wood was also a character in the sequel trilogy. He was that guy that Poe talked to in The Last Jedi when he's like, that's Admiral Holdo. So yeah, he's in the book too. So I'm going to get him to sign it as well. So I'm excited about that. In other Star Wars news, the Rise of Skywalker novelization, this has been a big topic this week. The novelization doesn't come out until March 17th, but there were some early copies of it released at C2E2 in Chicago, and some things came out. apparently Rey and Ben's kiss was not really meant to be romantic. A lot of people interpret it as that. I don't know what the book says about this. I don't know how it expresses, this kiss. I might've read it. I don't remember, exactly what it said, but I feel like that's kind of a little bit of a line there. I don't know. That kiss was something. So whatever. Other things that came out that I do find interesting are that apparently Palpatine, and I don't know if this is the Palpatine that we've seen on Exegol. I don't know if this is the Palpatine that fell down, that fell on the Death Star. I don't know, but he's apparently a clone. So there were a lot of Palpatines. There was even apparently a failed Palpatine, and that's who Palpatine claims is his son. So Rey's father was a failed clone of Palpatine. Interesting to know. So all those people worried about thinking about the possibility of who did Palpatine procreate with, well, now you know, he really didn't, or probably didn't anyway. His son was actually just a clone, kind of like Boba Fett. So that actually I don't know what people think about it, but to me, I kind of appreciate that, because one of the issues that I had with The Rise of Skywalker was the whole, oh, Palpatine's back thing. And it just seems silly, because he definitely died in Return of the Jedi. Like, he died. That was the end of him. And then all of a sudden, we're going to bring him back for whatever reason. But the cloning kind of makes sense, because we had the Clone Wars, obviously, and it seemed like he was kind of behind the creation of that clone army to begin with. And in light of that conversation that he had with Anakin in the opera scene, and being able to overcome death and return people from the dead, it kind of does make a lot of sense. The cloning, and I don't know, I like it. It works for me. I know it doesn't for everybody, but it does for me. So that's been the talk of the town this week when it comes to Star Wars, was all of that from the Rise of Skywalker novelization that got leaked. So another piece of news today, everybody's talking about hashtag Rebels Remembered. The Rebels TV show ended 2 years ago today. I don't have a lot to say about it yet. I like it so far, but I actually haven't finished it. I've been watching it on Disney Plus, but I'm only in season two. I do have to say that I did like the episode. I have watched some of the episodes that I'm not to yet. Not many of them, but I did see the one where Ahsoka met Vader, because who doesn't want to see that? I mean, come on. I had to go watch that one, and it was great. So that's cool. I am excited to watch more of it, especially seeing all of the cool stuff that everybody's saying about it today. So let's talk about some release dates here. We've got some stuff coming out. The Rise of Skywalker, the digital version, you can download it on March 17th. It is also then coming to 4K and Blu-ray on March 31st. Also, that novel that I was talking about, the novelization of it, is going to be out on March 17th as well. So you can go and pick that up then. And then also The Art of the Rise of Skywalker. I think each one of these movies, I don't really have any of these, but these cool Art of, you know, whatever movies come out, and that will be out for Rise of Skywalker on March 31st. So just some dates if you're looking to pick those things up, now you know. And I think that's about it for this week. As always, like I've said, please visit JediFangirl.com. You can find links for the podcast, for Jedi Fangirl logo stuff, for the blog, for my social media. All of that is up there. And I would definitely appreciate it if you have things to say about The Force Awakens. Go and leave me a message so I can include you in my podcast for next week. So thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been fun. I will talk to you again next week, and may the Force be with you.